Children, you are dismissed to children's church. You guys have a great time. A couple rolling out there in the back. JW, you got to stay with me, buddy. Before I get to the message this morning, you can go ahead and go ahead. Yeah. Before I get to that last song that we did with praise and worship, you know, it is difficult to choose to praise God from that dry place, but I think I might even argue it's even more difficult to trust Him while you're there. You agree? You know, family, listen, as I was sitting up here just listening to what was being shared for the meditations, and you know, I got to be honest with you, a lot of your faces came right into my mind as I just cleared out mine. There's people here today that are raising up that standard. There are people here today that, you know, when you look at their life from the outside, there's no reason, no logical reason why they should, but they're choosing to trust. They're choosing to believe. They're choosing to praise. Now, I'm not here to embarrass anybody or call anybody out, okay, but I guess I am going to call upon the church here for a moment, and I am going to call you to encourage each other. You know, and as I look, and again, I'm not going to go into specifics, but Darren, you have a lot of reason not to praise, but you still choose to praise. You still choose to praise, and I admire that, brother. Thank you for that example. You know, Mary Jenny, will you choose to praise? Even in everything you're facing, you will choose? Yes, you will. And I see that in her life. I don't know if you guys get a chance to, but I see it in her life. She says, it's all crazy, but I'm still going to do it. You know, Anita, you've had one of the toughest years I've heard of. Will you choose to praise?
Yes.
Will you choose to trust Him?
Yes.
Yes, you will. Absolutely. And I know her heart, and I know that there's nothing that's going to deter her from that. Jerry and Peggy, what a year it's been. We've suffered with you guys and shared with you guys. Will you choose to praise in this year to come? Yes, you will. Please. Amen. Amen. Those two aren't going to give up. Trust me, they're stubborn. You know, they're not going to give up. They're going to continue to praise. And I could go around this room and we could continue to do that. But you have people around you, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know some of you are sitting here today and you're saying, Tim, you don't understand the kind of financial pressure I'm facing. And you're probably right. I probably don't. I don't know all of your stories. But what I do know is, it's the same decision that people like Darren and Jerry and Peggy and Alta, it's the same decision that your brothers and sisters in Christ are making right beside you right now. And they're saying, hey, you know, reach out that hand and you know what? I'll believe, will you? I'll praise, will you? I'll trust Him, will you? That's what we're here for. I mean, you know, the rest of it's great, but we're here to encourage and to build up. So, some of you, though, I trust me, I know. Some of you feel this morning like you're very forgotten. You know, some of you feel like you're not really part of the family. And I've sensed that over the last several months. And it's becoming more and more difficult, it seems like, every week to make that connection and to keep that connection and to be the family that, honestly, that's what drove me here. Was to know that people cared about me and that they invested in me. And I got to tell you, I know there's people in this room right now that you feel disconnected. That you feel like you're not part of it. You feel like you've been forgotten. This morning, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. As we look at Luke chapter 2, you're going to see a story about a group of men who I would tell you they also felt forgotten. A group of men who felt like not only had their peers and society forgot them, but to be honest with you, God must have forgot me too. We're going to be looking at the shepherd story today. Shepherds. Now the shepherds, and again, we've had 2,000 years worth of rewriting all of this in our minds. If you need a Bible to look through, if you could raise your hand. Bill was patient back there with me. If you need a Bible, I'll get those to you. But over 2,000 years of rewriting what we think of as shepherds has left us with a very different picture than what they were 2,000 years ago on the night that Christ was born. See, shepherds were far from the clean-cut men. Well, actually, they had beards, but they were nicely put together. And, you know, they all had nice, clean clothes, and they showed up, and they were just real, you know, just great guys to be around. You know, I want to invite them over to my house for dinner. That's not the shepherds of the time. Okay, the shepherds of the time were the outcast of society. I mean, they were looked down upon by everybody. If you thought you were at the bottom of the heap, as long as you weren't a shepherd, there was one person lower than you. Okay? That's the way that the society felt about them. And you, it's easy to tell why. It was a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week kind of job. I mean, when they had anything going on at the temple or any kind of a great festival to be at, guess what? The shepherds couldn't do it. They had a job to do. I mean, okay, let me bring this into 20th century, 21st century terms. They didn't go to church. Oh no. You know? Well, of course those are bad people, right? They couldn't go to church. Their job was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not to mention, these guys worked around sheep all day long. Okay, so guess what? When they came close to you, guess what they smelled like? Okay, you got it. All right? They smelled like sheep. I mean, even if they could have made it to church, the people wouldn't let them in. The priests wouldn't let them in. They'd kick them right back out. You have no place here. They were outcasts. Their language was coarse. Their appearance was rough. Dads, these are not the kind of men that you want your daughters bringing home for dinner. Okay, the shepherd just wasn't that guy. Israel, as a nation, despised them. And that's incredibly ironic because in their past, it had been shepherds who were some of their greatest leaders. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, what did they all have in common? They were shepherds. It was a shepherd that Jesus, or that the Spirit of God spoke through a burning bush to. His name? Moses. It was a shepherd, a little shepherd boy that killed the Philistine giant Goliath. David. It was a shepherd that would go from there to be anointed as the king of Israel. Jesus Christ would call himself the good shepherd. So it's incredibly strange that they had such a bad public image. But on the night of our Savior's birth, let me tell you something. That's the way it was. They were the outcasts. They were the forgotten ones. And let me tell you something else. They were the last people that anybody in Israel would have expected that the holy, holy, holy God of Israel would speak to. Shepherds, no way. You've got to be crazy. All right? No way would God talk to those kind of guys. Some of you today, here, you feel like shepherds. You feel like everything that's going on in life has put you to the side, has kicked you. Nothing seems to work out for you. So not only has society rejected me, but I got to be honest with you, Tim, I think God hates me too. Some of you are there right now. Some of you feel forgotten. You feel left out. But I want to assure you today that Luke chapter 2, the shepherd story, God wrote that to let you know clearly that you are not forgotten. So Luke chapter 2, open up to verse 8. And it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their fields by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Okay. God chose to announce the most important, by far, the most important birth in all of human history to a group of roughneck, dirty, smelly shepherds. Okay, now this is the part where the pastor says, and the Lord works in mysterious ways. But this is the part where Tim says, what? You know, are you crazy? You told a bunch of shepherds? I mean, maybe the angels got the wrong address. Maybe they were supposed to go and tell the king. Maybe they were meant to tell the rabbis. I mean, Lord, anybody, tell the cashier down at Walmart. But don't tell the shepherds. Crazy. I mean, why is he talking to these people? They're outcasts. It's crazy to me. It's crazy to you. But guess what? In God's plan, it fits just perfect. It fits just perfect. And where you are right now, you're feeling forgotten, and it's crazy to even be here, and you're never going to be part of this, and you're not getting any of it. And guess what? You're here today because God's plan has perfectly brought you here today. You fit here perfect right now. You're here right now to hear what I'm telling you. Luke 1:52 says, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. 1 Corinthians 1:26 and 29. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. All right? Not many of you were influential. Not many were noble of birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. God takes the most unlikely so that nobody else can get credit for what he's doing. You can't give credit or glory to anything other than God when God takes something that no one would even touch and makes it remarkable. Some of you are just like that. I am just like that. Guys, and I know we all have these stories, but my life is one of those lives that you wouldn't touch. All right? You don't look at me today and see that, and I thank God for that. But you look at me about 8, 9, 10 years ago, and you wouldn't touch me. And if you look at Tim then and Tim today, guess what? There's not a man on this earth that can take credit for that. God and God alone. That's it. Okay, so maybe shepherds do make a little bit of sense, huh? Maybe they fit the picture. Maybe that's part of God's plan. But why? Why shepherds? Why these guys? Because the shepherds that were living in that field that night, okay, they had something very important to teach us this morning. God chose them because, in fact, they had three qualities, three things about them that caused God to use these shepherds, to choose them, in fact. And I think there are three qualities that if we were wise today, we would choose to embrace these same things. First one, the passage says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Okay, these shepherds are on third shift. I mean, if you're in retail, you know what I'm talking about, right? They're on third shift. But here's the difference. These guys also worked the first and second shift too. And they did this every day. Okay? So these shepherds, the first quality about them that we should embrace, they were attentive. They were devoted and attentive to the job and to the place that God had placed them. We need to follow that kind of example. We need to be devoted. We need to be attentive to not only our workplace, to not only our home, to not only our church, to wherever it is that God has placed you. Because sometimes you're going to be at a place that it doesn't make any sense and you couldn't see anything good coming out of it. But God says, just be faithful where I've got you. I've got you there. I mean, you didn't get there by accident. You didn't happen to sneak off and I don't know where Tim is. No, I know where you are. And I've got a plan for you right there. So be attentive, be devoted, be faithful right where God has you. You say, but Tim, you don't understand.
Tim, if my job is a dead-end job. I mean, there is nothing good coming out of my job. Let me tell you, I kind of understand, okay? But it's a dead-end job, and I don't see anything that God could possibly accomplish. Okay, I heard you. Now hear me. These shepherds, these guys lived, breathed, and when necessary, ate sheep. That's what they did. That was their entire lives. Do you think there was any appreciation out there for shepherds? Do you think there was any honor given to shepherds? Do you think there was any career advancement opportunities in the shepherding field? No. No, this was the definition of a dead-end job. Does it sound familiar? Some of us feel that same way, don't we? What am I doing here? I've seen so many people. I work also, in addition to here at the church, I work in a grocery store. And I've seen so many people who walk out the door because they feel like they have to have something new. Just something different. Something new. It must be better. It's something new. But too often the truth that many of them find is that that's not what God's calling them to. Instead of looking for something new, God's calling them to do their job in a new way. You know, to approach it in a new way. Men and ladies in your homes. I mean, maybe you guys are like me, and I'm always just like, man, we got to do something different with the house. You know, it just drives me crazy. But most of the time, that's not the point. The point is I need to live in my home differently. I need to approach how my family is built differently. We need to be attentive to the place that God has called us. Whether it be the classroom, the office, your family, your home, whatever that is, stop trying to find purpose in your life from those things and instead start looking for God's purpose in those things. Be open to whatever it is that He placed in front of you. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, a lot of times it's unexpected. It'll be an interruption. It doesn't fit. And that's okay. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, moms, whatever you do at home, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Tim, when you check out groceries, do it with all your heart as if you're checking out groceries for the Lord and not for men. That seems crazy, but that's what he says. Handle it that way. Stop daydreaming about this incredible purpose that you're, and just do what God has you there for. Find His purpose in it today. So the shepherds, they were attentive. They were faithful in what they were doing. It says they were out there at night watching the sheep. All right, these guys weren't slackers. They were attentive. And we need to be the same way. But the second thing about them is they were also... okay. They were also awed. Not odd, but awed. Okay, A-W-E-D. Verse 9 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Some of you have different translations, sorely afraid, I know. But it means the same. Okay, and you might say, I don't get that. Terrified? Wouldn't they be excited? Wouldn't they be joyful? Wouldn't they be amazed? But terrified? Tim, I don't think I'll be terrified when that happens. No, it's going to be a great day. It will be a great day. But you'll also be terrified. If that doesn't make sense to you right now, then let me tell you something. Odds are probably that you've not been awed by God recently. That you've not come into the presence of the glory of God recently. Because if you do that, trust me when I tell you, terrified is the right word. Okay? When we even come near the glory of God, anywhere near the deep and penetrating glory of God, all of a sudden, how sinful I am, all of a sudden, how broken I am, becomes very, very clear, very apparent. I see it for what it is when I stand in the glory of God. Peter says in Luke 5:8, when Jesus just showed him a small glimpse, and Peter said, he says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I mean, is that the kind of response? Yeah. When you get in the glory of God and you see how sinful we are, how broken we are. Yeah, it's a terrifying experience. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed in Isaiah 6:5, "Woe to me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King and the Lord Almighty." That's Isaiah, the prophet. Okay. I mean, what about me then? And Samson's father, Manoah, in Judges 13:23, him and his wife, they were unknowingly introduced to the angel of the Lord, and he said, "We're doomed to die. We have seen God." Those are the responses of people who have come into face-to-face contact with the living God. When you experience the glory of God, these are the kind of responses that are enacted in our life. And I don't doubt for a moment that, guess what? The shepherds, they had the same response. It says the glory of God shone around them and they were terrified. Can you imagine if you were just sitting down, maybe telling like a dirty joke or something, and all of a sudden the glory of God? Oops. You know, I mean, wow, what did I do? Yeah, they're terrified. That's the natural response. But on that quiet night, this group of attentive shepherds, they were also awed. Awed by the magnificent glory of God. They were taken back by it. Stopped them in their tracks right where they were. They couldn't move forward anymore. Church, let me ask you. Actually, let me preface this. Do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
No.
Thank you. When was the last time? When was the last time that you were in awe of God? When was the last time that He blew you away? When was the last time that you marveled at our Messiah? Has it been a while? Can you not remember the last time that the presence of God brought you to your knees? I think the problem that a lot of us have this time of year as we talk about these things is that we've read and heard and seen this story so many times that it's become common to us. I mean, Linus on Charlie Brown's Christmas, he read this story. It's commonplace. It's normal. We don't think much about it. We think it normal the night that God Himself put on flesh and was born to a virgin. That's common. We think it normal the night that mankind's only hope of redemption and salvation came into the world. Oh, yeah, it's commonplace. We think it normal that the angels of God lit up the night sky brighter than the sun and announced to the world the birth of God's only begotten Son. And we say that's common. That's pretty normal. Regular Tuesday. No, this is anything but normal. But for us, it's become common. See, we're no longer in awe. We're no longer taken back by it. We no longer marvel. We no longer find ourselves on our knees. So let's stop for a moment then. Because let me tell you something. Church, we need to be in awe. We need to marvel. We need to be on our knees before a holy, glorious God. So perhaps Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds don't quite get you there. Maybe when you walk with them at this time of year, that doesn't quite do it for you. Now, that's crazy, but maybe it doesn't. All right, so let's walk a few steps with Ezekiel. And you can just make a note of this, but just I want you to listen more than I want you to read. Ezekiel 1:25. Now you tell me if this is marvelous, if this is glorious. "Then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings." This is Ezekiel standing in the throne room of God. "Above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above on that throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, When I saw it, I fell down on my face. Ezekiel was taken in awe. He was taken aback. That's not common. In fact, there's only one. All right? And I'd like to emphasize for just a moment, look at how much Ezekiel struggles just to communicate to you and I what he saw. He says, it looked like, it had the appearance to be. It was like the appearance. It was the appearance of the likeness. He's saying, listen, church, this is more than I can even imagine to tell you. This is bigger than my mind knows how to comprehend. And I'm going to do my best, but you just got to understand, it's just my best. And he tries. But that's how glorious God is. That even as the prophet stood there and looked at it with his own eyes, he couldn't do it. He said, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like this. And guess what? One day you're going to get a chance to stand in that same place. And maybe you'll do a better job than Ezekiel. I don't know. Okay? But I tell you this, you'll find yourself on your knees when you're there. You'll be flat on your face when you get there. But then again, maybe Ezekiel, that's, you know, he's Old Testament, Tim. Things change. It's the New Testament, right? New Testament church, Tim. Just throw that out. Okay, let's walk then with John. Let's walk with John in the book of Revelation. Again, just listen. Chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. John says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. He was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His hair and his head were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like the bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I were dead. Not common. John was taken back. And where did he find himself? On his face. On his knees, on his face. Church, we don't find ourselves there nearly so much. And we should. We should. That's what the shepherds did. Shepherds were awed by God. You know, this Christmas season, I'd encourage you, don't be blown away by your neighbor's lights. You know? Big deal. That is common. You know, don't be amazed by all the sales at the mall. Okay, they're great this year. Who cares? Okay? If you're going to be blown away by something, be blown away by your Savior. If you're going to be amazed by something, be amazed by your Messiah. If you're going to be taken back by someone, be taken back by Jesus Christ. We need to spend more time on our knees. More time in awe of God's glory. But returning once again to the passage, and now to our final quality of these shepherds. It says, picking up in verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. There's a key word in that passage. It's used multiple times. I wonder if you see it. The word is you. The word is you. It's not me. It's you. The greatest announcement in human history and the most remarkable gift ever shared with mankind was given to all people. It was given to everyone. But the announcement of his birth, for it to mean anything in your life, must first be heard by you. The gift of salvation, for it to have any impact on your life, must be received by you. Paul echoes these same words in 1 Thessalonians when he says, and we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but actually as it is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Those shepherds that night, the quality I'm talking about is that they accepted the word of God personally.
had the chance this last couple weeks to visit with a lot of people that I don't get a chance to talk with very much. And a few of them have shared with me their stories, who they are. And what's really bothered me in a couple of them is that as they start talking about their relationship with Christ, all I hear is about going to church. And all I hear about is how their parents had relationships. And all I hear about is that their grandfather was an elder. And all I hear about is that they give to the poor. And all I hear about, you know, is that they do all these good things. But you know what I don't hear? I don't hear that they have personally accepted the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Because in Matthew 25, Christ said the people will be separated and they'll say, "Lord, we did all these great things for you." And he'll say, "Away from me. I never knew you." These shepherds, they heard the word and they personally accepted it. They reacted to it personally. It wasn't that their dad heard the word, they heard it. It wasn't that they told another group of shepherds and then they went. They went. You have to personally hear the message. You have to personally allow the word of God to work in your heart, to change your life. I can't do it for you. JW can't do it for you. You know, you got a great body of Christ around you, but they can't do it for you. That's you. You and you alone. Now, I don't want you to be confused because I've talked about you now here too much. All right? The reason for the season is Jesus Christ. That's it. Okay? The reason for the season is Jesus Christ, but the purpose of His plan is you. He didn't just make a day trip down to earth for no reason, to waste a weekend. He came down here for you. Not 2,000 years ago for just those people, for you today. Right where you are right now. He's here for you. Will you please stand with me? Church, I would challenge you these next, 14 days before Christmas. In the next 2 weeks, I would challenge you to approach these days faithfully attentive to the places and to the purposes that God has called you. Be just like the shepherds. Be faithful wherever God has put you. You don't have to understand it completely, but know that God does. I would challenge you in these next 2 weeks, at some point, to purposely find yourself in awe of your God. I would challenge you to open up this word in almost any page, and it will blow you away. Get quiet long enough. Find yourself in the presence of God. And I'd almost promise you that where you'll end up is with your face down. I challenge you in this Christmas season. Some of you, please hear me. You are not forgotten. You are not forgotten. The babe was born in the manger, and then the man died on the cross for you. You are not forgotten. Will you pray with me? Father, my heart's desire right now is for you just to show us your glory. And I know that, Lord, there's a long list of men who have asked that same question. Father, right now, from the hearts of Buckhead Ridge Christian Church, we petition you at your throne. Father, show us your glory. Father, we desire to be in awe of who you are. Lord, I want to be amazed every moment of every day by who you are. Lord, there is nothing common about you. There is only one. Lord, remind me of that. Remind my brothers and my sisters of that. Lord, show us your glory. Church, wherever you are today, wherever God has placed you, know that
wherever it was before and wherever it's going to be after, right now He has you here for a reason. For some of you, that reason is that He's drawing you to Himself. Some of you, you know of people who do know Him, and you've heard of Him, but you don't know Him. I would pray this morning that you see this opportunity, that you see this time for exactly what it is, which is the greatest gift that you will ever be given, the chance to know your King. You did nothing to deserve it. You will never do anything to warrant it. He loves you. He loves you with a love that's beyond compare. And today, He's calling you home. Some of you, you know the God that I speak of. But you're running the other way right now. And you're running as hard and as fast as your feet can carry you. And I would tell you today is a day to stop running. You didn't just show up for a Christmas service today. You showed up for a change in life service today. Let the Holy Spirit redirect your life. Decide that those sins that you've been chasing after for so long, see them for what they are. And instead, chase after God's purpose in your life. Find yourself at His feet. You will never be disappointed. Some of you, that means obedience. It means it's time to step forward and to publicly proclaim that Jesus is the King and Lord of your life. For as we confess Him before other men, He confesses us before the Father. For some of you, it's time to make the decision to be baptized. You say, hey, I'm 75 years old. I haven't been baptized yet. No. Today is the day. I would challenge you today to make that decision. Be obedient with exactly where God has you. I'm going to take a few moments, church. A few moments, and I pray that if you're struggling with that, these moments seem like forever. And I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you from where you are, will convince you that there is nothing and no one in all of creation like a personal relationship with the Savior Jesus Christ, and there is no life that you can live like one that is lorded by Jesus Christ. We'll take a few moments, church.